Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have you on yet another one of these Business of Digital marketing podcasts. And we have Dave over there. How's it going, Dave?
It is going, sir. It is going well.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. So let's just jump right into this because, you know, not to silo you into or funnel you into one specific thing, hint, hint, but...
Pun.
Hey, dad jokes, you know, I'm a dad, so... We got, you know, what we wanted, or this was something that we were chatting about before we started recording and how important it is nowadays, and so I'm going to just kind of like turn it over to you, kick us off, but we are going to be chatting about funnels, people, and that's what we're going to be discussing today, so...
So specifically, just the traditional funnel, and I think funnel, I always hear people say they want to build a funnel, they worry about funnels.
Or can you help me with funnels?
Yeah.
Like they heard some marketer say, hey, we got to do the, you know, or how good are you with marketing funnels?
And we are not going to go down the rabbit hole of creating one or like crazy deep into it, but I think that you do need to be aware. No matter where you are in the company, no matter what you do, because it should be helping your SEO. And we'll probably do, I've started digging more into, and I'm like, every time I look on Twitter now, there's stuff about it. But there's more about, you know, what the intent is for the keywords, not just the keywords and the numbers of people searching, but like, is it transactional? Is it informational? Is it, you know, more down the purchase? PPC people have worried about this much longer than I think a lot of SEO people. What's that?
I said yes. I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, because paying for clicks for an informational, why? You know, that's what your SEO people are supposed to be doing.
Well, I think broken down into simplicity and one of the best ones that I've seen is something that you shared, and I'll let you chat on this, but. And we'll share this with everybody on the write-up, but the image that was shared by Duct Tape Marketing on their, you know, the building the marketing hourglass, little mini infographic. And so I think that one kind of breaks down a traditional marketing funnel. And so maybe just talk on that.
Yeah, it's the marketing hourglass trademarked. But it breaks it into two different sides. So it's know, like, and trust. On one side, funneling down to the more transactional side of try, buy, repeat, and refer, which covers, you know, the loyalty, whether you're trying to get loyalty. I mean, how many, and maybe you can say this or can't, but what percentage of your business comes from either referral? I don't know if repeat would be, I guess repeat would be for an agency just renewing. But the referring is also huge.
Yeah, no, it is. We actually do know those numbers. I don't have them off the top of my head. I know that,
you know, or what you can even talk, what level you can talk about too.
Sorry, explain that.
Well, that's like, you know, your internal numbers giving it away.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like, for example, I grew the company on referrals, and now we're at a stage where I think the number that was given to me, like 70% of all our clientele are on like contracts and whatnot now. But the thing that I find interesting is, and again, you know, we're in an industry, Dave, where people don't stick around that long. Like, you know, if you can keep an employee for 2-3 years, they're like a veteran with you.
For an agencies, I think it's like 2 to 2.5 years is the, I don't want to say the max, but that's the typical lifespan for an employee to stay with an agency of any size.
Right. And so the reason I bring that up is because, you know, there's lots of agencies or other places like that, tech places that we work with and that we do work for. And so I know one guy in particular, we've been working with him for about 10 years now. And this was back when we were Dream Systems Media, we started. But this guy has moved around to 5 different companies, and we do work for all 5 of those companies now. And so, and it was because of him originally, and he started, and we got in with a company, and we've done good work, and we've kept him. Then he went to a new company, and he's like, all right, you got to use these guys. And we started working with him, and then he went to the next company, and, you know, same deal. And so that kind of stuff happens all the time with where we're at.
Well, and then you go from one person, and I just looked it up really quick. The average CEO's average tenure is 7.2 years, and this is according to data from 2019. Wall Street Journal just posted this, and some other people. CMOs are around 44 months, so 3.5 years.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, if you've been working with someone for a while, and I know people that have, especially if they're a startup, I worked with one person over the 3 or 4 year period. I haven't worked with them this year, but I worked with him in 3 out of his 4 companies he worked at in the last like 4 or 5 years. And he's always at startups because they keep getting bought.
Yeah.
So he's like the VP of marketing or CMO or something. And, you know, and even who we had on before, Dana Todd, she's like, but before she had her startup, she would go in and was a short-term CMO type person, where she would go in and there was turmoil, there was all sorts of, you know, they were doing restructuring or the new CEO. She would come in and be a temporary band-aid to try to build a team, build everything so that they could then go and find a long-term CMO who wanted to, you know, really grow things long-term. And then she'd go and find the next fire to try to, you know, put out.
Yeah, and some people love it like that. Like when you're, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking of our friend Joanna Lord and how she goes and does this for companies.
Oh, yeah, she likes building the teams up.
Yeah. And so anyway, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. So, yeah, a lot of the business comes from that. But from a digital point, from, you know, us, social media, SEO, PPC, display, you know, affiliate, whatever it is, I think it's the funnel is still there, you know, and we'll drop in the link if you really want to see the traditional awareness, opinion, consideration, preference, purchase. Yeah, I think everyone still goes through that, but they hop around so much. And, you know, there's another interesting video, which is actually a year or two old now, from Mr. Eric Ng and Mark, where they talk about moving beyond the traditional marketing funnel. And they did their, you know, here's why.
Gotcha.
Funny videos. But they break it down as well. And it's from a SEO standpoint, I want to get people no matter what they're doing. And I think that's where the intent and, you know, when people are looking and they want to know about your product, or but they don't even know what they're looking for. I think it's just people bounce around so much and so quickly that having a single funnel or a single piece of content, like if your all of your content is only for people that want to try and buy, are you ever going to even make it there?
Well, and I think that, well, that's one of the valuable lessons that we learned back in the day. I mean, think back to the dig, you know, the dig.com and the stumble upon days, like, you know, all the content that we created was under one funnel simply for likes. And I don't know if you want to call links. It shock factor or just like, that's all we built content for. We just wanted people to like it. We wanted the social awareness. We wanted people linking to it. You know, we wanted to bring the server down. And you realize, you know, after doing that for a little while, that that's not necessarily going to, I mean, it's good for SEO purposes and other things, but like, you know, it's not necessarily going to move the needles that the higher ups want, you know?
Yeah, that's like, great for awareness, but what about consideration and purchase?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, well, that's great. You got us, you know, 400,000 visitors to the site, but we got 3 sales from it or whatever it might be, or no sales. So what do you... what would you, like, let's say that, you know, someone that I went to a conference or I heard a podcast or I did something, you know, some podcast that's not ours or read an article somewhere and someone comes up and says, Dave, like, what am I supposed to do with my marketing funnel? I heard I'm supposed to have a marketing funnel, or how do I set a marketing funnel up? Where do you kind of point them, and how do you answer that for them?
Whether you want to use the traditional one or you want to use like something like this Marketing Hourglass or any sort of variation of looking at, you know, buyer intent and your, you know, look at your personas, look at these different funnels. Do you have content for each of the different steps? This one, you know, the Hourglass has 7 different areas: know, like, trust, and then, you know, like I said, try, buy, repeat, and refer. Do you have content that internally can help your customers refer you? do you have content that you're building to empower, educate, and win over your current customers? And oftentimes I'll see people, like, the only stuff they ever put on their blog is product updates or new product enhancements. I'm like, that's great. That's awesome for referrals. That's great for repeat.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be in your email marketing or drip campaign type stuff.
Yeah. It's like, do you ever, you know, send out emails to your customers, even if it's a quarterly, and do you have content to say, hey, this is the features that we just launched this, you know, past quarter. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't, you know. I saw something about, I'm in so many different Facebook groups, but like one of them is like a SEMrush and one other one's like some other thing. Like so often you'll see people ask about, it would be great if your tool did this.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen, and when I worked in-house, we had the same thing. It's like, I wish we could do this in our product. And it's like, oh, well, we released that 2 months ago. And we actually sent an email out, but maybe you didn't see it. And then you just hear the customer service people going, yeah, so this week we had three people ask about this product, this feature that's been on there for a year. It's like, well, clearly in the marketing team, we did not hit them over the head enough, you know, because they, or someone is like, you know, I just talked to someone and they already signed up with our competitor because we don't do this. But we actually have for 3 years. They just didn't know where it was in the GUI.
Gotcha.
It's like, what? But if you're not creating content and marketing to your customers' friends, you know, and everyone that even doesn't know about you, I think that's where the funnels are. And I think that's where you should look at them. I honestly don't make a ton of funnels, but I do look at the different intents. And whenever people are like, oh, let's do a content ad, or let's do keyword research and stuff, it's like, okay, what do we have content for? Where are we trying to get them? How can we get some people in the information? How can we get some people that are maybe comparing us or don't even know about us? So how can we get people that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, just saying, so when you say you don't have as many funnels, maybe you're following more of the traditional marketing funnel. Like one of the articles that you shared on dummies.com was, you know, how it's very simply awareness, opinion, consideration, preference, and purchase. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, I guess to your point, you don't have to make this more complex.
No, it really can't, doesn't have to be super complicated. It's just think about different stages that, and it gets more difficult for some companies I've worked with in the past where they're buying, you know, not a $15 t-shirt like Matt was just telling me about, or maybe it was a $20 t-shirt that you just bought. There was no consideration. There was no information. You just saw it and bought it. But that was a $15 purchase.
Yeah.
Now, when you're talking about a car
for
$15,000 or $50,000 or $75,000, or if you're talking about a business
you brought up what you're talking about made me think of the perfect example with, you know, when you're looking at like the monthly type things, and I was thinking of specifically pest control and our friend Thomas Ballantyne, and how he's always talking about one of his like main funnels that he's always hitting on is the reviews. And so like that's where he spends a lot of his time. That's where a lot of his energy on, or you know, whatever funnel it is. But that's huge, because I can't tell you how many times in an industry like that I've gone and just read review after review after review, and I want to see, how are these people doing with customer service? If review after review after review is telling me how horrible customer service is or whatnot, I'm not going to go with them. And so I guess, like, to your point is it depends a lot on the industry as well.
Yeah, it does, I think. And because some businesses, it's like, I mean, some of the stuff I've helped people sell, it's $15,000 to $150,000 and sometimes millions of dollars. And the buying cycle is 2 years. So if you're only focused on, you know, the trying for the people that want a demo of your software so that they can understand if it's going to integrate, but you've never built any trust with them and they really don't know much about your product, they go into the demo not knowing anything.
Well, that got me thinking about like other places that we worked with, like, you know, and the way that you approach, because, you know, for example, lawyers, I think about some where you could probably go and you know, if it's DUI or if it's divorce or whatever, it's a little bit maybe more traditional. But we've worked with personal injury lawyers where, you know, it could be a year from the time that you bring that lead in and they get them as a client. It could be a year before they even see a settlement or money or any kind of money back from what they did. And so it's just interesting how it's all different like that. Like, you have to think about this and you have to have that consideration when you're thinking about these funnels.
Yeah, every industry, every business is going to be different, whether it's, you know, the $15 t-shirt that you sold or, you know, some major, major purchase.
Yeah.
You might have to spend more time on the trust and building the reviews so that when people come and they look and they're like, they'll actually talk to you and do the demo and actually get your salesperson to, you know, take their call.
You know, something else that's interesting, and this just happened recently to us, and this would definitely, in my opinion, be a funnel, but just that, you know, we have this pool company, this pool service, and Holly likes it simply because of the communication factor. You know, they are, you know, she can email them, she can interact with them on their app on her phone, basically, and know that anytime she does any kind of interaction or anything that they've done, like, they will document it, they will put it on there, they will get back with her.
And oh, that's
like,
cool.
You know, she wants to keep, you know, she wants to keep them simply for that reason right there. It's just the communication, you know.
And I wonder if they actually know that that is a unique selling point for them. And
they probably
that,
don't.
And that they are actually keeping you as a customer because of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be interesting.
So, I think about Matt.
Homework for you, Holly.
Yes. All right. Well, any final thoughts on just, this very basic overview of funnels that we're trying to go over with everyone?
No, I think I'm working on some ways to not manually calculate, at least from a high level, intent. So for keyword research, and once I figure that out, we'll do an episode around that, because that kind of will kind of tie into this along with just personas and other stuff, which is another topic we have to talk about at some point. No, I think just look down your funnels and look at where your leads come from and where your sales come from, and figure out different ways of content, different, you know, whether it's maybe content or not. Maybe it's, you know, you go to conferences. Maybe you go to local meetups. Maybe you just advertise on radio. Whatever is working for you, figure out what and how those people are in the funnel and how you're moving them along. You know, do you have drip campaigns for emails that, you know, haven't been touched in many years? And maybe you drive all these leads, but you're just not closing it. I think that's something that as an SEO or PPC person, we really should worry about more and more than, you know, people ever have.
You know, that's great advice. It reminds me of a rant I was watching Alan Bleiweiss do last night on Twitter about, or it might have been the afternoon, it's just when I caught it. But
Alan was ranting on Twitter?
About,
Alan never rants.
About agencies and them wasting time trying to get companies they work with to create blog posts and blog content. You know, his point was to yours, create the kind of content that's going to do something. Do you need to focus more on the content that's going to move the needle in certain areas? Well, do that rather than just focus on creating a bunch of content because you heard it, the search engines need that, you know? So
I spend more time after, you know, how long did we as SEOs tell people that they needed to create content? And now I spend more time telling people to stop creating content. Like,
well,
stop just creating it for the sake of creating it.
Yeah, but, that's it. You don't need to stop creating it. It's just, you know, what are you creating it for? And we're evolving with the search engines, and I think it's going to be something like if we were all doing the traditional, you know, like whatever it is I was doing when I founded my agency, is, you know, that's not going to work. Obviously, it doesn't work today, and whatever we're doing now may be different 5 years from now. And so it's just, you have to evolve with it. So,
as the funnel should as well.
All right. Well, for Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltala with Avalanche Media, and we appreciate you guys joining us on another one of these episodes. And please feel free to chime in. Always ping us on Twitter or, you know, the comments section on the blog, and let us know your thoughts, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, all.